This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound?
House Majority Whip Steve Scalise facing new threats to his life barely more than a year after he was nearly assassinated during that congressional softball team practice. Police have arrested 63-year-old Carlos Bayon of Grand Island, New York, charging him with menacing the congressman after leaving violent voicemail messages. Authorities discovered hundreds of rounds of ammo and firearm purchase receipts in Bayon's home, along with bomb-building information. Joining us exclusively now with his reaction is House Majority Whip Steve Scalise. Congressman, it's great to see you. I'm so relieved. This guy was found. This was prevented. Lord knows what might have happened. We're also awaiting the election result from Ohio 12, which we're going to talk to you about, Congressman Scalise. But your reaction to yet another violent threat against your life.
Well, Laura, it's great to be back with you. And clearly, these kind of disturbing things, there's no place for it in politics. I first want to thank, once again, our United States Capitol Police. They were very quick to act. When my office received this threat, they sent the information on to Capitol Police. Capitol Police did research, found out that that this man has had some real serious concerns, and it was hard to track him down because he was trying to use aliases. But ultimately, they found him, and he's in custody, in federal custody, and hopefully, he gets a serious sentence because you can't allow this kind of threats and violence against people based on their political views.
Congressman, did he have postings on social media about you? Did he have was it a purely political axe to grind? Is he mentally deranged or a combination of both?
Well, I guess we'll find out a lot of that. Clearly, he had some strong disagreements with my political views and others. There were others that he threatened as well, and he's going to have to account to that. And the Justice Department has him now, but again, my thanks and true appreciation goes out to our law enforcement, United States Capitol Police, acting quickly and working with New York authorities to make sure that he got into custody.
Does this, what you see with Antifa across the country, taking over this Portland ICE office, black hoods, the beatdowns of conservatives, intimidations of conservatives in public, you saw what happened to Charlie Kirk and his colleague Candace Owens the other morning in Philadelphia. This stuff seems to be ratcheted up. The left blames President Trump. They say, well, he's calling the news fake news and calling them out, and that's making people more and more anxious.
No. You look at some of the liberal rhetoric that's coming out from the left. They're encouraging and inciting, in many cases, violence. And it's got to stop. In fact, liberals need to call this out. They need to speak up, just as we're speaking up, saying that there's no place for it on the Republican or Democrat side. I think people on the left need to be as vocal at calling out this kind of violence.
Well, we were talking earlier about Facebook and Apple moving against more conservative voices beyond Alex Jones, but to other conservatives who've seen their voices diminished on these mega platforms. Trillions of dollars of market cap in these companies. Are you concerned that groups like Antifa, which have incited violence at these rallies, they continue on YouTube and so forth and Facebook, seemingly with impunity. Other groups like them.
Yeah, it's clearly a double standard. We've pointed some of this out. In fact, when Mark Zuckerberg testified before the Energy and Commerce Committee that I sit on just a few weeks ago, I brought this up, the bias that we're seeing in Facebook as they put a new algorithm in place to change the way that people get their news feeds, and where they're literally we're starting to filter in a, from what we've seen, a left-leaning way in having a bias against conservatives. We've raised it to them, and they've gotten back to me to let me know that this is something they're looking into, but we need to watch it closely, because if they get into a position where it looks like they're trying to become the platform of the left, there are other social media sites people can go to.
Well, Steve Scalise reporting on the potential attack on him.
averted. It makes you wonder, you know, is it going to get worse before it gets better, huh? 5 minutes after the top of the hour, we've got more coming up.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
It's all about the things that matter most in your life, and I thank you for being a part of the solution, and not a Republican thing or a Democratic thing, as we often say here. It's about the United States of America. It's about all of us being unified, e pluribus unum. From many, there comes one, and our central thought and focus. The thing that, you know, comes into focus for me immediately is our U.S. Constitution and Declaration of Independence. I want to bring on John Guandolo here, because this is going to be key to our conversation here. John is the president and founder of Understanding the Threat, the only organization in the nation which provides a detailed assessment of the enemy threat in your local area, provides law enforcement investigative solutions, and creates state-level counterinsurgency strategies to identify, dismantle, and defeat the jihadi network in your area. John, welcome as always to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks as always for having me.
Well, John, we appreciate your insight, your background as a former FBI agent, a counterterrorism expert. You know, what I read all the time when it comes to deconstructing an institution is that you got to tie up the strong man, you know, the people who really reinforce the laws in our country. And what appears to me, and you and I have touched on this in the past, and I want to get into this a little bit more, but what appears to me, particularly with the FBI, was that there was an intentional, purposeful deconstruct of laws that just from the get-go, I mean, it kind of crept in, and, you know, and even, you know, when you consider the oath of office that the FBI takes, which is similar to what I took when I entered the military. It says, I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of this office on which I am about to enter. So help me God. So this is the oath that every FBI agent and all the other agents that operate on our behalf that are there to secure our national security. So what has happened, John?
Well, that is a broad and yet incredibly important question. Mm-hmm. I think several things have happened inside the government and inside this country. As I travel around, as you just mentioned, and train police, National Guard, political leaders at the local, state, and federal level, and others, and have for years, one of the reasons that Understanding the Threat, my organization, includes in the three-day training and our week-long Train the Trainer program, a significant session on America's founding principles as it relates to law and government, is that we have found over the years that most people who take an oath do not understand the very foundation upon which the oath rests. Mm-hmm. So I think the first answer to your what's going on is I believe many people who swear an oath to the Constitution do not understand the foundation and principles that undergird that oath, number one. And I think that's a big number one. That's a big first
yes.
question. And then because of that, because we don't understand that, and because there has been dishonesty by U.S. leaders about the real threats we face, I think there's no sense of urgency. So I think when you put those three things together, the lack of understanding of our founding, what I think is a lack of courage among many of the leaders in our government, and the fact that we have stopped being honest about real threats we face, and therefore there's not a sense of urgency. All of those go to create a problem.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't understand the oath, I mean, the oath is two sentences, John. It's two sentences, and you don't understand the oath. Well, you know, if people don't get fired because there's a violation of the oath, which to me is paramount. I mean, it's foundational, right? And as you said, this is an awesome commitment and testament to, you know, why you're coming into office, why you're going to serve this purpose, whether it's the military or, you know, in intelligence community, whatever you're going to do on behalf of the national security of we the people. And to me, I mean, for you to make a statement and say, well, you know, they just don't understand this, like, what? What do you, what? You know?
So, Bill, if I may, let me give two very specific examples that apply in what we're dealing with and the threats we're dealing with. The first is the bedrock upon which the nation is founded is in the Declaration, which is the ideal. The Declaration is the ideal of what our government and law is founded on, that our rights come from our Creator. They come from God. They're inalienable. So the right to free expression is not something given to us by the First Amendment. It is not a First Amendment right.
Mm-hmm.
It is an inalienable right that we are all human beings have, no matter what country you live in, and the right exists whether there is or is not a constitution or is not a United States. And the foundation is the law of nature and nature's God, which is legally defined as the will of God, law of nature, natural law as we see it, and the will of God legally defined at the time of the foundation in Blackstone's commentaries as Holy Scripture. And the understanding in law is that no law can be legislated that contradicts the law of nature and nature's God. It's the moral standard upon which the republic rests.
Exactly. Well,
we are so far from that. So that's the first thing I'm talking about, is we don't understand that. And I will tell you, when I say we don't, our experience going around the country, whether we're briefing members of Congress, local police, state leaders, you name it, when we give our session, our 90-minute session on the foundation and law and government, that's the portion of our three-day training, for instance, that most people will, that the majority of people will say, that's the best training session I've ever had as a, you know, Army officer, as a Marine officer, as a police officer, as a, you know, legislator, as a prosecutor, because we've never heard that before the way you just presented the whole package. The second thing is that I think is really important in the war we're fighting is you said it when you were talking about the oath of office. Protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. All enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there has actually been moves at the federal level as we describe our enemies by not using the word enemy.
Mm-hmm.
They're now violent extremists or they're something. That has legal implications. When your oath is based on identifying enemies, and you literally, and this has been an effort by both the Marxists and the Islamic movement, to remove the word enemy from our DOD policies and from things like that, that has real implications on how you fight a war.
Mm-hmm.
So when an enemy, in the case of the jihadis, 100% of them identify themselves as Muslims, waging jihad to establish an Islamic State under Sharia, and we take the language, we are leaders, take the language and say,
John, we got to take a quick pause. We got to go to break. Yeah. We got more from John Guandolo after this. Stay with us.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Have you had credit challenges, divorce, bankruptcy, or just haven't established your credit yet? If so, getting a decent car loan can be tough. The good news is that there is a place where you can get a car loan at a fair price, regardless of your credit situation. Auto Loan Express can make it happen now when you visit newcar99.com. Here's the deal. If you have a regular job, then there's no reason to keep taking the bus or repairing that old junker. Go to newcar99.com today and fill out our simple online application. We accept over 99% set of applicants and can get you behind the wheel of your new car with just a few strokes of your keyboard. No hassles, no third degree. Just fill out the simple online application and start shopping for your next car. So when you're ready to get on the road with your new car loan, visit us online at newcar99.com, where we accept 99% of all applications. newcar99.com. If you have a job, then you qualify. Here's to you and your new car. Visit newcar99.com. newcar99.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Send your emails direct, NSA free, to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
Lord, I will run to you. You are my heart, Jesus. You are my saving grace. Lord, I will run, run, run. Lord, I will run to you.
Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, Sway, like. make us fresh and independent every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, a conversation with John Guandola continues. He is a counterterrorism expert, former FBI agent. He is the founder of Understanding the Threat. You can go to understandingthethreat.com to be in the flow of the know. Co-author of Sharia, The Threat to America, author of the newly released book, Raising a Jihadi Generation. And, you know, John, you know, we kind of got into, I think, a foundational issue here. And I appreciate you, you know, coming alongside here to discuss this basic idea of national security. This is why Main Street America said, look, at Donald Trump's got to be our guy because he's the only guy that gets national security. He understands that there are certain things that are happening fundamentally that have happened to our country. And what we're saying here is the very heart of our defenses, those that are supposed to secure our peace, have been compromised by accepting words and ideals that are in direct conflict with their very vow that they take.
That's right. I mean, you can't, what we were talking about before the break is you simply, the way our system is set up is, to kind of reaffirm what I was saying, is that the law of nature and nature's God is the foundation. No law can be legislated that contradicts it. That's the moral standard for the Republic. When you swear an oath to the Constitution, as a police officer, for instance, your job is to enforce the law. Mm-hmm. That's your primary job. And to enforce the law, you have to understand that the way the system is set up is you can't enforce a law that violates the law of nature, nature's God, and you can't ignore something where there's a wrong being done. That's the moral standard in the Republic. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we can all think of laws that have been legislated that violate that. And so when we look at natural law and the law of Holy Scripture, that's the moral standard. Like it or not, believe it or not, it doesn't matter. And the fact that we have gotten so far away from that is amazing. And that's why we teach it. And what I find amazing is, like I said, police officers say it's the best session, training session they've ever had, because they realize for the most of their career or all of their career, they actually didn't know what they were swearing an oath to.
Exactly.
And
amazing.
It's not because they're bad people or bad police officers. They didn't learn it in the public school. They didn't learn it at the police academy. I went to the Naval Academy. Mm-hmm. I was a Marine officer and I was an FBI agent. I didn't learn it. It wasn't until after I got out of during the time that I was, like at the end of my FBI time, that I came to learn this. And it wasn't through the FBI. That's the problem in the system is the very people who are supposed to be defending the system don't understand the foundation of our system.
Exactly. Well, even just the one line, nature's God, you know, we've compromised, you know, through our speech and our ideas that, you know, God just isn't there, that we can do as we darn well please. I mean, this is part and parcel to why our country has been so fragmented and in chaos and lawless, is because we've abandoned the rule of law. And we see this happening all over. I mean, look what happened in Portland here this week, John. I mean, you can't go and protect ICE officers because the mayor decides that, you know, philosophically he's not with the program there. So he's just going to leave them to their own devices. Are you kidding me?
Right. And the reality is when you see that, if you look at each of these instances with a deep understanding of the foundation of this nation, what undergirds our law and government, because this is not a religious discussion. This is a legal governmental discussion. That mayor should be removed.
Exactly.
He should be removed today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without any question. But see, the thing is, if you've abandoned the basis for the rule of law and the vow, and it's meaningless, well, then you have no grounds, but you do have grounds. But you're just not going to exercise your right as citizens and to hold people accountable. See, this is what I said earlier. until people begin to realize that this is a standard that must be met in its totality without exception, and people lose their jobs because they have violated said vow, then it's meaningless. I mean, why should I say it even?
Well, right. And what's interesting, I'll say this at the risk of utterly shocking your listening audience, although your listeners seem to be more educated than many. At the time that the Constitution was ratified and the amendments, the states, if you look at the state constitutions, they all required a public vow of faith
yes.
in order to hold public office. And I mean to the fact that they had different verbiages, but some required you to publicly state, I believe in the Holy Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in God the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son. You had to publicly declare this to hold public office. And the reasoning behind this was, how can you hold public office as a judge to judge laws, as an executive, a governor, a mayor, who's going to execute the laws and ensure that laws are followed, or as legislators that are going to legislate laws, if you don't believe in the very underpinning of the society?
Exactly. I mean,
we have just totally lost that understanding.
And now here we are, John, where I was reading an article yesterday where we have a lot of Muslims running for elected office. How does the Quran reconcile? I mean, you know, I can't reconcile the Quran with the U.S. Constitution.
Well, you can't reconcile Islamic law, which is what Islam requires Muslims to adhere to. You cannot reconcile it. It is absolutely directly contrary to our system.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. Islam in Sharia mandates war against non-Muslims until Sharia is the law of the land. And that's not me just saying that. That's what they teach in Islamic schools in the United States. So they're teaching sedition in their elementary and junior high school textbooks right here in the United States. As a matter of fact, I'll quote from the most widely used junior high school textbook in U.S. Islamic schools, a book called What Islam Is All About. Mm-hmm. It says the basis for the legal and political system, this is a quote, is the Sharia, and Sharia is the law of the land, and quote, the duty of Muslim citizens is to be loyal to the Islamic State. That's seditious.
Yes.
That's not a religious practice. That is sedition governmentally and legally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. So a Muslim or any an individual that follows Sharia, Islamic law, cannot adhere to an oath to the Constitution. They're in direct contradiction. And our founders, by the way, knew this.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, John Quincy Adams, Theodore Roosevelt, they all spoke about these the direct contrast of Islam with Christianity and Islam with our system.
Exactly. Well, and this is why you had Thomas Jefferson when we had the first conflict with the Muslims. He said, I don't understand. Help me understand these, you know, these people. Where are they coming from? When he realized that their philosophy was antithetical to the foundations of the Constitution, he said, send in the Marines, right?
That's exactly right. The first war we fought after the Revolution was against the Barbary States.
Yeah. Well, John Guandola has been with us, former FBI agent, counterterrorism expert with UnderstandingTheThreat.com. John, how can people be in the flow of the know and be connected with you?
Well, we encourage them to go to UnderstandingTheThreat.com, sign up for our newsletter, get our resources. We have books, DVDs. We have a new 5-hour DVD, 2-DVD set coming out about Sharia, and a new DVD on America's founding. But, go to the website. Be in contact with us.
John, as always, honor and a pleasure. Semper Fi, my brother. Be safe. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that make may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
The Mendocino Complex fire in Northern California is said to be burning out of control, the largest fire in the state's history. Earlier, there were some reports that better weather conditions might help firefighters turn the corner on containing it. This morning, though, a Cal Fire spokesman says they don't think they'll have the huge fire contained until at least September 1st. Bill Clinton, now a million-selling novelist. The book The President Is Missing, a thriller co-written with James Patterson, has more than a million sales in North America alone. The book's co-publishers, Alfred A. Knopf and Little Brown and Company, announcing those figures for the novel that was released on June 4th, topping bestseller lists for weeks. Reviews were mixed, but a Barnes & Noble fiction buyer says in a statement that The President Is Missing has benefited from very strong word of mouth. The book's subject has also proved timely, a potentially devastating cyber attack, which intelligence experts have called a leading concern for real these days.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
We don't see color here. We just love America. Bill Martinez, live.
With you, America, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez, and for more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. All the information you need to know is right there for you. We have a real treat. Mark Olshaker is with us. He's a novelist, nonfiction author, Emmy Award-winning filmmaker, written and produced numerous documentaries, including the Emmy-nominated PBS Nova program, Mind of a Serial Killer. Now, he and John Douglas have written the book, book Mindhunter, we've got a new introduction by the authors as well, inside the FBI's elite serial crime unit, and we'll be talking with Mark here in just a moment, but I want to give you a little bit of background if you're not familiar with Mindhunters. John Douglas, a former FBI special agent, the Bureau's a criminal profiling pioneer, one of the creators of the Crime Classification Manual. He is currently a consultant on criminal investigative analysis. And
hello?
Haunts us and law and disorder, among others. Mark, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Okay, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Sorry, I went into a little bit of an extended intro here,
so people understood
that I'm talking with you, and you and John have worked together on this, which is an incredible partnership between the two of you.
Yeah, I mean, it's been likened to he's Sherlock Holmes and I'm Dr. Watson, and I'll accept that.
Well, that's a compliment, regardless. I mean, with this whole situation, I mean, to come alongside somebody who is so gifted in forensics and analysis as John is, and you get to come along and kind of clean it up and write it up so that us common folk can understand what the heck he's thinking about, because some of this is pretty profound, right?
The way it started is I, as you say, I'm a documentary filmmaker, and I did a show years ago for PBS Nova called Mind of a Serial Killer. And, you know, I'd written four novels before that, published four novels before that, and done some nonfiction books. And as a writer, and as you know, as a radio host, you're always looking for great characters, whether they come from your imagination or wherever. And as soon as I met John Douglas at the FBI Academy, I said, this is a great character. And so when he got we did the film, when he got ready to retire, he called me and said, do you think anybody would be interested in my story? And I said, well, I certainly am, let's try it out. So we wrote Mindhunter, which did very well, and we're on our eighth book now together.
Incredible. Hey, Mark, when you started to do this and you got into the genre of really studying, you know, these serial murders and that, what did this psychologically impact you in such a way that we're, you know, because, I mean, there's some things that authors, would rather just not do because it's rather gruesome.
Yeah, it is gruesome. It's fascinating and gruesome at the same time. And we all have the things that bother us specifically. I'm really bothered by crimes against children and crimes against animals, but you just have to deal with this. And what I tell people, Bill, is what this is really about. And I think one of the in the questions you sent me ahead of time about the fascination with this subject, I think it's because it's really about the human condition as we know it, but it's the human condition writ large at the extremes. We all have these emotions, but these are people who act on them, who love, hate, revenge, anger, all of these. And these are people who act on them at the extremes of human experience. And I think that's what both fascinates us and terrifies us.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of like a car wreck. We don't want to look, but we look and why did I look, and that's really bad, kind of thing. So there's just something within our nature that draws us to that, Mark. We call it a fascination, a curiosity, whatever you want to call it. But nonetheless, it's like you say, I don't want to see, I don't want to hear about kids, being hurt, much less violated to the degrees that, some of these, the worst of our humanity exercises, whether it's kids, animals, or anything, people who are defenseless, on and on. And you wonder, okay, wow, is, can I embrace part of them? Is that part of me?
You've hit the nail on the head. That's certainly part of it. And and I think it's has to do with the same thing that compels us about storytelling in general, which has been part of our culture since, prehistoric times, which is, why do people do the things they do?
Mm-hmm. And especially, as you say, to these extremes, there is, at any level, music, entertainment, the movies, it's just like more and more you get that, what Pat Riley called years ago, he used it in a sports contest, the disease of more. And I think that's appropriate and applicable here, even like this, is that we get into this, psychotic disease that we think, okay, well, it's not enough. Well, we handled that, so now we can handle more. I mean, it's like the horror movies when you and I were growing up, they were a certain level. Now, man, wow, it's like there's no holds barred.
Right. I think that's absolutely true. And with all of the sort of cheap, gratuitous violence we see in society today, not only in real life, but, in all the video games and the superhero movies and all of that, I think it's important also to remind people what real violence and what real malevolence and real cruelty is all about, so that we don't lose our sensitivity. I mean, I certainly don't believe that violent video games cause people to become violent, but as you've alluded to, Bill, it desensitizes them.
Exactly.
I think that's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that, you know, the difference between that and what you and John have written in Mindhunter, I mean, you're communicating reality. I mean, this is a report on what happened as opposed to an exaggeration of, you know, as you say, to me in part, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, Mark, but to me, when it's gratuitous, like you say, gratuitous violence, to me it demonstrates a lack of creativity.
Sure, I absolutely agree. And I think, you know, now that Mindhunter has been made into a very successful Netflix series, which is going into its second season soon, even though it's fictionalized in a way, I think we and producer, director David Fincher and the whole Netflix team have tried very hard to keep a level of reality and show what these people are really all about. And one of the reasons I think the book and the series have been successful is it's really about what goes on, not necessarily the violence per se, but in the mind of the person who's doing it.
And that's what you're presenting. I mean,
yeah.
And if you go to the extreme, then you're going to lose something in translation here. So
yeah.
The closer to the story and, you know, the mindset of this individual and what they do and why, you know, I think is kind of that glue that certainly makes it believable and really accomplishes what you and John are trying to do. And that is to get people to understand that, I think, first of all, evil exists. And secondly, this is what evil can look like.
Well, that's certainly what we're trying for, Bill. You've articulated it very, very succinctly.
Well, we're talking with Mark Olshaker, and we're going to get deeper and talk more about particularly, you know, getting inside the FBI's elite serial crime unit. We've heard a lot of, you know, disturbing things recently about the FBI. This is some good things about the FBI and all the great work and what they do on behalf of protecting us. And, you know, and what this elite serial crime unit is all about. It's quite fascinating. And it's true. And it's all in Mindhunter, the number one New York Times bestseller. And, you know, we've got Mark Olshaker with us, and we've got more from him after this. We're going to take a short break right now. 18 minutes before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. Hey, you want to drop me an email? We'd love to hear from you, good, bad, or indifferent. Hey, your voice counts here, okay? Bill@BillMartinezLive.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, it's the way you like, it's fresh and independent every day. Good to have you with us, sharing a part of your day, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. And we're talking with Mark Olshaker. He and John Douglas have given us the number one New York Times bestseller, Mindhunter, Inside the FBI's Elite Serial Crime Unit. Mark, as we were talking, about the book, let's break it down and give people an idea about the FBI's Elite Serial Crime Unit. What are they about? Who makes up the team? How did they get there? And, you know, some of the history.
Well, the history is that back during the J. Edgar Hoover era, that was the FBI was just the facts, ma'am. They didn't want any of this touchy-feely stuff. It all had to be very quantifiable. When John Douglas was teaching at the FBI Academy, he realized he didn't have a lot of really good background in what he was doing, and he said the way to get the background is to start interviewing the killers themselves. So he started going around the country while he was teaching and visiting penitentiaries and asking to talk to serial killers and violent predators and really start understanding what was going on in their minds. This was the first time. What the beginning of profiling was when John and his colleagues started saying, all right, how can we correlate what's going on in the killer's mind at mm-hmm. the time with the evidence we see at the crime scene? Uh-huh. And once they started realizing that they could figure out from the evidence at the crime scene what was going on in the killer's mind, they could start profiling what the killer was like, what his pre-offense behavior had been, what his post-offense behavior would be, and start narrowing the possibilities for the police about who they should be looking for. Mm-hmm. And so let's emphasize that profilers don't catch criminals, but they certainly help the local police forces, the detectives, the police officers, sheriffs, to narrow their focus so that they can focus on the right people and then help prosecute them. And very often, John or his colleagues would give a profile, and the detective would say, well, you know, we've got somebody who really fits that, and very often that would be the prime suspect.
So it wasn't so much about what anymore, because we knew the what. Mm-hmm. It was the old proverbial why, right?
You're absolutely right, Bill. In fact, John's equation is why plus how equals who.
Mm.
And so you're right. It's not the what. It's the why and the how. And if you can figure that out, then you are a long way closer to figuring out the who. For example, I was on a radio show a while ago, and with a case that was not solved. It was a number of prostitute killings in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
And the host says, well, let me tell you this. The police, our police source says that we have a bit of the 18 killings so far. They have DNA on 9 of them, which they hope to be able to match up to some killer. What does that tell you about the killer himself? And I said, whoa, I thought quickly.
Right.
And I said, but based on what I've learned from John and from all of the study I've been doing, I said, well, if they have DNA, I said, this guy is very successful. So if he's killed 18 people so far, so it's highly unlikely that he's been wounded 9 times in the course of this. Mm-hmm. So I don't think what they have is blood. I think what they have is semen.
Yes.
And prostitutes, of course, are very careful about that sort of thing because that is their profession. So I said, if they have DNA, likely semen from 9 of the cases, what that tells me is that he is going back and he is ejaculating on the his victim
after the fact,
post-mortem.
Yeah. Right.
So I said, I think you've got a necrophiliac, and if they start surveilling the body dump sites, they're going to catch him. And that's exactly what had happened. I mean, I didn't catch him. It was they had already figured that out. But that's an example of how you use your knowledge of behavior to actually proactively try to catch a criminal.
Well, this is all part and parcel of what you would refer to as psychological profiling 101, right?
Yep, you bet.
So what else is involved in that problem? I mean, you just walked us through a practical example. Mm-hmm. What other things do you look at?
You look at all kinds of things. You look at whether the crime was organized or disorganized. That will tell you something about the background of the killer. You look for any kind of ritualistic positioning. You look for how the body was treated, which will tell you a lot about whether it was the person was close to the victim, knew the victim or not. So once you start learning about the all of the different attributes that these guys have, and it's almost always men, I hasten to add,
mm-hmm.
Then you start to understand what each piece of physical evidence, which is actually behavioral evidence, means.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, in the JonBenet Ramsey case, which many people know about, mm-hmm. a lot of people, including in this case the FBI, were convinced that the parents had done it. John and I studied the case, and we said, we're not sure who did it, but we know, based on the behavioral and scientific evidence, that the parents had not done it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a methodical process. It's involved. It involves scientific evidence, it involves hair and fiber, it involves behavioral evidence, and you just got to put it all together. And so many people are claiming to be profilers these days, but it's like being a doctor or a radio host or anything else. Some,
exactly.
Some are better than others.
Right. Well, an example in the Benet situation, you know, we're back to that formula that John uses, you know, the why, who, and, you know, and what, right?
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
And so it didn't add up. So you go, okay, that's not the case. You know, John also had an opportunity. Maybe you can unfold this for us. Well, I can tell. I wish we had more time to talk about this because there's so many things. Particularly his meeting with Charles Manson. Tell us what came out of that.
Well, one of the things that came out is he realized that you know, you have to show a certain amount of empathy with these people, even if they're horrible to begin with. And so telling somebody like Charles Manson, well, you're evil, that doesn't accomplish anything. No. What he's looking for is information. And the first thing he realized about Charles Manson is he came and realized Manson was like 5'2 or 5'3. He was very insecure about his height. So John invited him to sit on the table in the prison meeting room, and so he could actually tower over John, who is 6'2". And that gave him a sense of
superiority.
And he was happy to talk. John also positioned him so that he could see the door, because these people generally tend to be very paranoid. He tries, even whatever he may think personally, he tries very hard not to be judgmental, because what he wants to know is, it doesn't matter what he thinks of these people. It's what they think of themselves, what they think of their crime, what they felt at the time, and what they felt afterwards. So that's the key. And after each of these interviews, John and his colleagues would fill out like a 60-page questionnaire based on their memory of the conversation, so that they could then quantify all of this
and kind of formulate
and use it. And, you know, you mentioned the crime classification manual, and that's where the crime classification manual came from, based on these interviews and what they learned.
What did he learn in terms of the why for Charles Manson?
The why for Charles Manson, very interestingly, was Charles Manson was he had had a very bad childhood. He'd been rejected by a lot of people. What he really wanted to be was a rock star. And when that didn't work out, he chose the next best thing, which was still to be this idol in Svengali for this group of kind of lost individuals. I think we can honestly say, Bill, that had Charlie Manson become a rock star, he wouldn't have become a killer.
Right. So,
I think, and because of that, I think he was a very manipulative individual, and had they let him out of prison, I don't think he would have been dangerous. I'm not saying they should have let him out.
Exactly. Did it just kind of just get away from him? I mean, he wanted 15 minutes of fame, and it just took off. The followers just added to the insanity of it all?
You bet. I think, I honestly think, and John thinks, that he was surprised by that these followers went out and committed the first crime. And when they did, he had to put up or shut up. So he had to go with them to the second crime and show that he was serious about it.
Or he was going to lose his following.
And I think what was most important to him was his influence, was his status. I don't think being in jail was that big a deal to him, as long as he had that status, which is what he really wanted.
Exactly. Well, what are people telling you about Mindhunter when you go and you talk about this book and you're out in the public? Well, what do they say to you? We got about 30 seconds left here.
Well, everybody has their own story to tell. Everybody has had some kind of encounter with evil, and the thing they always say is, we're fascinated by why people do the things they do. I can't imagine doing it myself, but I'm fascinated. And as you say, it's like the horror movies when we were kids. People want to know why and how, and that's what we're trying to tell them. Both.
And we go to the movie, we buy the ticket. We still do that.
Yes, and also in the Netflix series, as I say, which is, we're very gratified.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEMACAM84M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutraMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey.